I'm just going to get this going so that it's running. Okay, and today's date is, let's look at my watch, July the 16th, 1998. And if you don't care, just state your name and where you live.
Reuben Roberts. I live at 104 Manitoba Lane in Lexington, Kentucky.
Okay, and Mr. Roberts, what year did you graduate from the settlement school?
I graduated in 1953.
Okay, and where did you grow up when you were living in Knott County?
I grew up primarily in the head of Thicket Holler on Big Branch Ball.
Big Branch Ball. And tell me a little bit about your family.
Well, my father is Arthur Roberts. He is the son of Sam Roberts, who's my great-grandfather was William Roberts, who at one time was a county judge of Knott County.
Well.
And that was in around 1900, I think.
Uh-huh.
And my mother was May Holyfield. She was born in Pike County, mm-hmm. and her father was killed in the coal mines, and she came to live with her grandparents on Clear Creek. And she eventually stayed at the settlement before she was married at the age of 16.
Your mother did? Stayed there at the settlement?
Yes, she stayed.
Okay.
She stayed at the settlement when she was in elementary school.
Okay. Yeah. Now, did you live on campus when you were at school there?
Yes, I lived on the campus, yes.
Okay. So how many years did you live there?
I was there from the beginning of from the second semester, but that would have been 1950 until my graduation in May of 1953.
Okay, so it was just during your high school years?
During my high school years.
Okay. Okay. Now, what building did you live in? Or I guess you might have lived in several when you were there.
No,
they only
had one building that housed boys at that time, and that was the old Eastover building.
Okay. So did you have roommates, or how was that set up? How were your living arrangements?
Well, we had rooms that housed anywhere from two to, in some cases, six guys.
Okay. And who was in charge of y'all? Did somebody live up there with you?
Yes, we had a house mother who had her own living quarters in the building,
mm-hmm.
and she was our supervisor.
Yeah.
In the dorm.
And what was her name?
I had two house mothers.
Okay.
While I was there. The first one was a Ms. Walker. She was a very well-educated, very articulate lady. And my last house mother was Mrs. Frady, who was the mother of Claude Frady, who was the principal at the high school.
Oh, okay. Right. So the first lady that was your house mother, Miss Walker, you said?
Yes.
What kind of, I guess, what was she like? You said she was very articulate and well-educated. But
well, she was just a very dignified person that she always used the correct English and and was pretty formal in all of her approaches to everything, and she was just a very knowledgeable lady, uh-huh. in my opinion.
And then your other house mother, Ms. Frady, what was she like?
Well, Ms. Frady was more the motherly type.
Uh-huh.
She had, of course, raised a family of her own, and but she was also well educated and a very fine lady, and she got along very well with all the guys at Eastover.
Mm-hmm. So I guess I'm trying to get an idea of what it was like to live on campus at that time. I know I've talked to people, like I told you, from years back. I guess, did you have work responsibilities?
Oh, yes. We had work responsibilities. I think, if I remember correctly, we had about 3 hours a day. Well, I can give you a general work schedule.
Yeah, that'd be good.
We had four mornings a week. We got up about 5 or 5:30 and went to the dairy barn and milked the cows,
mm-hmm.
and brought the milk back to the kitchen. And that were a group, so many boys were scheduled each morning to take care of that chore. And then after breakfast, we would go to our assigned jobs and work for 45 minutes before school.
Wow.
And then, of course, we go to school. And then in the evening, after school, we would report to work, and we were expected to work for an hour and 15 minutes.
After school.
After school in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
In the afternoon, I guess.
Evening. Yeah.
But that's general. That is generally what the work schedule consists of.
So what were some things that you did besides working in the dairy?
Well, some of the things, I worked on the grounds, maintenance of the grounds for 2 years under the supervision of Ms. Burns.
Mm-hmm.
And she was quite a taskmaster as far as the grounds were concerned. And of course, we took care of weeding the flower beds and just working on the beautification of the campus.
Mm-hmm. Now, Ms. Burns, what was it like working for her? I've heard a couple things about her, and I just think it's interesting that, I guess normally you'd think that maybe, not maybe they would have a man that would be in charge of keeping up those things, but apparently she was very particular about her flowers and things like that.
She was. She had a great deal of pride in her flowers and the appearance of the campus.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, she believed in everybody working the full time that they were supposed to work and staying busy while they were on the job. And she would enforce those ideas.
Yeah. So I guess just trying to get an idea of working for her, was she very strict, or was she just, I don't know, maybe tell me, what do you think about her personality? Like, what, when you think of Ms.
Well, she was, for the most part, Ms. Burns was all business. She was concerned about getting the job done.
Mm-hmm.
And she was the type of person that, who would smile occasionally and maybe talk about something, you know, of a personal nature. But that was the exception rather than the rule. And we always thought that when she did that, it was kind of special because she did it so infrequently.
Yeah.
In our presence. Anyway.
Yeah. Did you have any other jobs or anything besides working maintenance? Or?
I worked in the dairy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was my only that was my work assignments while I was there.
Okay.
And of course we had people that worked. We had one boy that was assigned to each dorm to assist the house mother of the dorm with, you know, they emptied trash and did little chores,
mm-hmm.
in each dorm. And we had people that worked in the shop or the manual training shop.
Okay. Yeah.
Some of the boys worked there.
Uh-huh.
And that was about the I think maybe we may have had a couple of boys that worked at the maintenance shop with Luther Bentley.
Okay.
You know, in the maintenance of of the buildings and the equipment itself.
Uh-huh. That's pretty neat. I'm going to pause this just for a second. Okay. I've got it back on now. Now, we were talking about your work and things you did. You worked at the dairy, you said, non-maintenance. And I guess, what did you think about having to do that, or was that a big deal to you having to work while you were in school?
Well, it wasn't really all that big a deal. You know, in those days, it was kind of what was expected, I guess. That, mm-hmm. Of course, there were times when I would rather have been doing something else.
Yeah.
You know, like there's one thing I failed to mention on in our work schedule too. In addition to the 3 hours a day that we did during the week, we also were required to work 6 hours on Saturday.
Oh, really?
Right. So, you know, that kind of got to you more than anything else. Like mm-hmm. on the weekend, you know, we'd work 4 hours in the morning, and then in the afternoon when we wanted to go downtown and drink a Coke and listen to the jukebox, you know, we had to work 2 hours in the afternoon. I think that probably bothered me worse than anything else, you know.
Yeah.
But I lived through it.
So did you stay there every weekend? Or how often did you go home?
We had, each semester, we had two short weekends and a long weekend that we could go home. A short weekend was you go home on Saturday after work and come back Sunday before the evening meal. And on a long weekend, like you could go home maybe like on a Friday evening and stay until Sunday.
Okay.
So we had one of those a semester and two short weekends
each
semester.
So did you get homesick? Or?
Well, I don't remember getting homesick, but there were times when I would rather have been home.
Right. You know? I'd say so, especially working on Saturday.
Right.
Now, was it just you and your family there? Did you have any brothers and sisters that were there while you were there?
You mean at the school?
Mm-hmm. While you were staying there?
No, it was just me.
Just you? Okay. Alone. Yeah, because I know some people that I've talked to had their little brothers or little sisters and that mm-hmm. kind of, they said it made them feel a little bit better about being away from home, so it's like they had part of their family there. Now, another interesting thing that I found talking to people is eating in the dining room, which sounds like, you know, like it wouldn't be a big deal, but a lot of people tell me how they were certain, you were expected to behave a certain way in the dining room, or I guess just tell me about the whole experience of eating together. Like, didn't you eat all your meals together when everybody would get in the dining room?
Well,
it might have been different for you, a little bit different.
The dining room, it was kind of an experience.
Mm-hmm. that's what I've heard.
When first of all, we started out with we had the two bell system.
Okay, what's that?
To alert everybody for meals.
Mm-hmm.
And the first bell, you know, they'd give it a good long ring, you know. Mm-hmm. Depending on the energy of the girl that was assigned to ring the bell. And that would alert everybody that, if I remember correctly, it was 20 minutes. 10 minutes,
okay. I guess.
she says 10, she worked there. So, but anyway, that would alert everybody that you know, it's about mealtime.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd all get our hair combed and get squared away, you know, and get down to near the entrance to the dining hall. And then the second bell was just a couple of clanks, you know.
Yeah.
And that's when we would enter the dining hall. And when you entered the dining hall, you would move to your assigned chair at your assigned table and stand behind your chair. And when everybody was in and standing behind the chair and pretty well settled down, then I guess it was the school director. Someone would hit a little bell, clink, and everybody would sit down. And then, of course, you know, you had the blessing and After the blessing, then the head of the table or the faculty member at the table would proceed with serving the food and in some cases passing the food around, you know,
mm-hmm.
to get everybody served. And that was basically and when you finished, you would always ask if you could be excused. And that was some of the formalities that we went through. And then for the evening meal, we always had a little service at the evening meal. You'd have some Bible reading, you know, maybe a verse or two, and and then they would sing a hymn. And after that, you know, then you moved out to various different after evening meal activities.
Yeah. So what was the food like? I mean, did...
Well...
If you remember how good it was or, you know, something like that.
I think the food was... the food was good. And it was of course, nutritionally correct for the most part, I think, with the exception of perhaps a little fat that you don't believe a lot in now. But, of course, it wasn't always what we would have wanted to eat, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, we'd like to, just like it, just as it is now, we would have liked to have hamburgers and things of that nature. But the food, it just wasn't that type of food. But for the most part, the food was good. But a lot of the students, you know, came from the head of Hollis and places like I did, and we wasn't accustomed to eating that type of food. So it was pretty quite a shock to try to get adapted to eating that type of food. I'll never forget the first time I ever tasted meatloaf was there at the school, and I'd never had meatloaf, and I thought, well, geez, there's got to be something wrong with this. Nothing would taste like that,
you know? Or look like that, probably.
Yeah, but I was expecting when I tasted meatloaf, I was expecting something entirely different, and I was kind of shocked.
I had
to get used to several things like that because there was a lot of things that I hadn't been exposed to when I came to the school.
Yeah. You were talking about at the evening meal there was always a service or some kind of Bible reading.
Yeah.
What kind of emphasis was there on, I guess, on maybe Christianity or the Bible or things? I know that some people have told me that on Sunday they would have, like Sunday evenings, there was always something they had together, like a service. But that was in the early years. So I didn't know if that carried on into the 50s or...
Well, the main thing about the religious aspect of the school at the time I was there was, of course, you were required to go to church on Sunday.
Okay.
And we had, in town, we had two churches.
Mm-hmm.
We had the Methodist church and the Baptist church. And, you know, you had those two choices.
Yeah.
You were required to go to one or the other. And, of course, a lot of us went to the Methodist church because we could get by with more at the Methodist church than we could the Baptist church.
That's where I go to church.
They were a little more straight-laced, you know, the Baptist church was.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I was just wondering about that because I didn't know if that was still a rule that they kept applying that children needed to go to church on Sunday, but...
We went to church on Sunday, but I don't remember any specific religious thing that we did on Sunday other than that.
Okay. Yeah, that probably is just something that had changed then over the years a little bit. Now, another thing I want to ask you about was, I guess, going to town, how you said something about going to town to get a Coke. Like, of course, town's totally different now than it would have been then. What was it like? A privilege to go to town, or was that something that wasn't allowed very often?
Well, it was a privilege, and if I remember correctly, we could go downtown twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after we finished our work in the evening, we could go down in the evening after we finished our work, right? Twice, you know, twice a week, and but I think they held the girls maybe to a little more stricter schedule than they did the boys. You know, we pretty much would go downtown when we wanted to, but I think they held the girls a little more to that two times a week than they did us. But you know, if you got downtown and got back and didn't miss anything, then you could pretty much get by with going to town, you know.
Well, another thing that's kind of funny to me is, of course, town and the settlement school are right there next to each other.
Right,
it's like they're kind of one big thing now. Mm-hmm. But I guess, I know some students have told me that if you lived on campus, that's where you were. That's where you were supposed to be. It was kind of separate from the town. Was that still the same when you were there?
Yes, it was a separate entity. We called the students in town, we called them town boys and town kids, you know. And, of course, they would come up, they'd come up and visit the campus, the people that lived in town. But we were a little more restricted in our movements, you know, in the town.
Yeah.
And as you indicated, we were kind of expected to be pretty much on campus, you know.
Yeah. Why do you think that was? Why do you think they wanted to?
Well, I think it was more of a, I think it was more of a control thing. They felt that, you know, if they could keep us, close, they could perhaps influence our conduct more and that type of thing, you know.
Okay.
And the influence on our conduct was always positive.
Yeah.
You know, I guess.
Yeah. So would you say overall that, I mean, it sounds a little bit more strict to me, but not in a bad way, the things that you were expected to do, like you needed to work, and they kept an eye on you, but do you think that you suffered for it, or do you think that, what was your opinion of that?
I don't think anybody suffered for it. I think it was all positive, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, my whole, all of my memories of the school, the things that happened there are all positive for the most part, you know.
Okay. Well, now let's talk a little bit about, I guess, going to school itself. We've talked about your, you know, living on campus, which is, like I said, which is very important for us to find out from the different time periods. Now, when you went to high school there, maybe who are some teachers or people that stand out in your mind?
Well, of course, one of the people that stands out in my mind, and he was at our last alumni luncheon down here was Claude Brady.
Mm-hmm.
He was the principal of the high school from my sophomore through my senior year. Claude Brady was. He was a very fiery type of an individual who didn't put up with any, as the people down there used to say, sass from anybody. And he was a very disciplinarian, and did a great deal for the school and the students that was there.
Uh-huh.
And but my first principal, the principal that was there when I started my freshman year, he was from Clear Creek. His name was Lytton Singleton, and he was only there for 1 year, and I was a freshman, so I saw him a few times, but I didn't know him very well.
You didn't know him? Okay.
And, of course, the basketball coach was a prominent person there, Pearl Combs. He always had a good basketball program. And some of the other teachers that I remember from the school was Mrs. Moore, Ms. Hall, and, of course, Pearl Combs' wife, Betty Combs. All of them were, as far as I was concerned at that time, very positive role models, very businesslike, straight-laced, knowledgeable people, you know, with the conservative ways that was, you know, prominent at that time.
Yeah. Now, the first one you mentioned was Miss Moore.
Yes.
What did she teach?
She taught English.
English, okay.
And, of course, Mrs. Singleton was there. That's Vesper Singleton's wife.
Mm-hmm.
She was my tapping teacher.
Mm-hmm.
She taught tapping. She was one of the younger ones at that time. And, of course, we had Claude Kaler, who taught history. And Jody Adams, who taught science, and at I think for the last 2 years I was at the settlement school, Jody Adams was the, we used to call him the barn boss. He was the guy that supervised the dairy.
Oh, okay.
And people used to accuse Jody of going into the classroom with cow manure on his shoes. But and of course another teacher that I remember very well was Lawson Cornett. He lived on Clear Creek. And, of course, we had Mr. Carter. I never had a class under Mr. Carter, but I've heard my wife talk about him on certain occasions. And, of course, we had Mr. Hyatt. Mr. Hyatt was the manual training teacher, or the shop teacher. Now they call it something else, but we called it manual training in those days.
Now that's something I thought was interesting too, because a lot, we don't really have that anymore, you know, a class, I think, to that extent. What was that class like?
Well, it was a, it was really a class in Finnish carpentry is what it was. We learned how to use the carpentry tools, you know, hand tools and the basic fundamentals of doing carpenter work, cabinet making. It was primarily cabinet making. We didn't get into any construction type thing, you know, but we learned how to square boards and use screws and nails and glue and use all of the things that goes along with building something, you know.
Yeah, so do you think that was a helpful class to have?
Oh, I think it was great. I think it was great. We learned a lot of things, and, you know, that could be helpful, you know, in life.
Yeah.
You know, fixing the door, fixing this and fixing that, you know.
That sounds pretty useful to me. I need to take a class like that. Now, you've talked about some teachers you remember. What classes did you enjoy when you were in high school?
Well, I guess the class that I just mentioned, the manual training class, was one of the ones that that I enjoyed. And I also enjoyed science, the general science and biology. And I really didn't enjoy chemistry all that much, but it was enlightening. But that was the two subjects probably that I enjoyed the most was, you know, the shop or manual training and the science courses.
Okay. Now, were you involved in any kind of activities at school, like maybe clubs or any kind of organizations?
Well, we had what they called a club day at the high school. And certain times on, I think it was Tuesday, if I remember correctly, at the time I was there, you know, you would meet with your club. And we had the particular club that I joined and stayed with for quite a while was the military club. And again, Mr. Adams was the supervisor of the military club. And we had string music club. I was in that for a little while. And several other clubs, you know, that people, and, you know, they met once a week for, what, an hour or something, I believe. But it was interesting. We learned things in the club.
That is pretty neat. So did you said something about the basketball team. That made me, I think everybody's mentioned something about how there's always good basketball team, even like in the 30s. They said that was, you know, people went to basketball games.
Right.
So what was that kind of like? Was that still a...
Well, see, really, basketball was the only organized sport that was played at the school at that time.
Okay.
So that was the biggie on campus. And, of course, we played basketball the year round recreationally. We
oh, really?
Really didn't play any other game very much. And, of course, during the basketball season, that was the main thing. And to go to a basketball game, like, you know, if you could get on the festivals. And one of the festivals that we went to, which was a one-day affair, was at the old Stuart Robinson High School in, I think it's in Letcher County.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd go over there and dance a Saturday. And then we would go to the Folk Fest at Berea College, and that was a 3 or 4 day affair. And it was of course, a much bigger,
yeah,
much bigger thing with a collection of students from Tennessee, Kentucky, and all over.
So, did you all like perform at these, or was it like a workshop to learn more?
Well, you know, you had it was primarily at the festivals. You just you performed, and you know, you mingled with students from other schools and that type of thing, which was a lot of fun. You know, we enjoyed that,
yeah.
You know, seeing some different faces and different perspective on what was going on in school and that type of thing, you know. So I really enjoyed that aspect, that activity.
Yeah.
You know? And I think a lot of other people did too.
What were maybe some other things that went on while you were at school at the settlement that kind of emphasized your heritage or culture? Of course, folk dancing does. Was there any other emphasis, I guess, on things that they were trying to do? Like, was there any, let's see, like songs or things? Was that important to learn the songs of the area? Or?
Well, we did a part of our activities, especially in the, we used to have what they call a Saturday program, you know, on Saturday night.
Uh-huh.
We would go up to the recreation house and we would sing folk songs.
Mm-hmm.
And of course they had these little song books and you know, we learned those songs and we would sing them on, you know, at our programs on Saturday night.
Yeah.
And it was kind of an enjoyable thing, and we learned the songs and, you know, learned a little about music and trying to sing for the people and that type of thing.
Whether you could sing or not, you just got to.
Yeah, well, you know, it was one of those things.
But I think that would be neat, though.
And our music teacher, who at that time was Mrs. White, she would play the music for our dancing and of course, for our singing.
Mm-hmm.
She was really good, you know. I mean, she could flat get with it. That was a big part. That was a big part of our activities there. That's probably the activity that I was. That's one of the activities that I did better in. You know, was the folk dancing aspect of the thing. And we had occasions at the high school where, you know, the folk dancing group would maybe do a couple of folk dances for a program at assembly or something of that nature, you know.
That's neat.
Huh?
Oh, May Day. Why'd you say that?
Yeah, we had a large a May Day program, and a lot of effort went into that on campus, you know.
Yeah.
And we had the activities out on campus, and we did folk dances and, you know, special activities.
Yeah.
And we did special dances and learn special dances for the May Day program. You know, they had didn't they have something they called a maypole or something like that? You get out and dance around it.
Because they did that up until, I don't know how old I was, but I remember being, did y'all have the court, like the May Queen? Did they do that then?
Did they do that?
Because I remember that went on up until.
I wasn't a candidate for the Queen.
So you didn't get nominated for that? But y'all still did May Day when you were there.
Right, we did it, yeah.
That's neat. Were there any other special, like, programs that went on through the year? Like, was there something special at Christmas or anything like that, other than May Day, maybe, that y'all did?
I'm trying to think. Did we have I don't know about a Christmas program. I can't recall anything. We primarily, I'm sure that they had Christmas activities for the students that were required to be there, you know, over the holidays.
Right, they had
to
stay.
Of course, we had to have, you know, everybody couldn't go home because, you know, they had to have enough people there to maintain the mm-hmm. work on the campus.
Yeah.
So they had certain Christmas activities for those people, but since a lot of people were going to be gone, I don't remember a lot of emphasis being put on Christmas activities.
You know? Okay. Now let's see. Now after you graduated from high school, what did you end up doing after you left Hyndman? After you just finished high school?
Well, the first thing I did when I finished high school, at that time at the high school, we didn't have counselors and things of that nature,
right.
You know, to give us a great deal of guidance as far as a future career was concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Our primary concern, of course, was to graduate from high school and go to work.
Yeah.
So I think about 4 days after I graduated from high school, like the old song, you know, down Route 23, I was on my way to Detroit to work in the, went up there and get a job in the automotive plants. And
uh-huh.
I worked up there for about a year, and then after, then I joined the Army, volunteered for the draft. Frieda Dyer from Hyndman got me on my way,
uh-huh.
and I made the military a career. I stayed in the military and retired from the military in 1973.
Okay. I like to ask people that because it's interesting to see what people have, you know, gone on and done after they graduate from high school.
Certainly. Almost everybody that went on to college became teachers.
That's true.
All of our classmates, uh-huh. everybody that went to college, practically all of them became teachers of one kind or another.
Why do you think that is?
I think the primary reason that all of the people became teachers was the fact that the role models and the people that they respected, the educated people, were their teachers. You know, and that's kind of the goals that they set for themselves. When I graduated from high school there, I really had no idea what a doctor or an accountant or a lawyer, I had no idea what they did or how much money they made or what was involved in getting that type of an education, you know.
Right.
So I think the advising system, if we had one, was very weak.
Yeah.
As far as guiding the people after high school.
Mm-hmm. You know, this is kind of a general question, but you've told me all these things about living in the settlement and your experiences. What kind of impact did living there and being a part of that, what kind of impact has that had on your life?
Well, I think it really had a great impact on my life because it taught me discipline, and I learned a lot of the things that I would be required the rest of my life to do in everyday living. It taught me autonomy as far as my everyday living was concerned. Otherwise, it taught me how to take care of myself,
mm-hmm.
and it just had a great and. One of the, I think probably one of the most important things was it placed me in contact with good, well-meaning, educated people that, and I think a lot of that kind of rubbed off on me.
Yeah.
Hopefully some of it did,
mm-hmm.
you know. It was a very positive experience.
And of course, you met your wife there.
Oh yeah, I met my wife there, and of course, I had to run from her for a long time, but she finally caught me.
Well, it looks like you survived.
Oh, yeah, we've done very well for, you know, in excess of 40 years, so I guess that was positive also.
Uh-huh. Well, I think that's pretty neat. Mm-hmm. Now, are there any, of course, I've just been asking you all these general questions, but are there maybe things that while we've been talking that you've thought of, maybe an experience or a story of your time at the settlement that you would want to, you know, share or anything? Because sometimes people feel like they can't tell stories, you know, like if something pops in their head, like one lady started telling me a story of something her and her friend had done while living there. Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, well, I guess I shouldn't say that. And I was like, no, that's even better to hear people's stories of things they did, because it gives you such a good idea. So I didn't know if there was anything that stood out in your mind.
Well, there's a few activities that may be worth mentioning that the faculty wouldn't talk about. And, of course, we all, in the dorm, we always had the old short sheeting thing that goes on, and and we had pillow fights and ruptured pillows and feathers all over the place and that type of thing. And I mentioned in the morning, a certain amount of us had to go to the dairy and milk the cattle. And when we came back and started up the front steps into the dorm, on certain occasions there would be a 5-gallon bucket of water dumped on the roof, which would run down on us as we came up the steps, you know. And some of the things that we used to do, we would, of course, we'd sneak out of the building sometimes and go downtown at night and drink coffee. And of course, if we got caught, we were in trouble. But the roof of the porch roof of the old Eastover building was right up next to the mountain, so we could go out the window and just walk out on the roof and jump over, you know.
So y'all'd sneak out.
So we'd sneak out and go downtown, drink a cup of coffee, and that was a big deal to us.
Yeah.
You know? And that was just some of the unsanctioned activities, you know,
yeah.
that we were involved in. But we didn't do anything, you know, that was mean or damaging to anybody
right.
else, you know. We're just kind of a little violation of the rules. And
mm-hmm.
Of course, I guess we got a little satisfaction from that if we didn't get caught.
Yeah.
But some of the things that we did would be very pale in comparison to a lot of the things that young people get involved in now.
Oh, yeah. You're definitely right. I just think it's neat to find out, you know, the differences, what people would do for fun or whatever. Was there any, like, things that y'all did, just hanging out with your friends, things you did for fun if you actually had time? Sounds like you were pretty busy.
Well, we were pretty busy, but we had fun. We did things like, you know, we'd go downtown and we played the pinball machines. You know, they didn't have the gambling type machines then, and all of the high-priced electronic stuff. But we'd go down there and play the pinball machines and listen to the jukebox and look at the girls, you know, and talk to the girls and drink Cokes and that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, our major activities, you know, while we weren't doing something of an official capacity.
Right. Well, I guess I've asked you most of the questions that I had, but is there anything that maybe I've left out or haven't asked you about that you think would be important about the settlement school or your time there, or, you know, anything that you feel would be important to add to this that I haven't asked you?
Well, let's see. I'm trying to think. I think we pretty much touched on a little on almost everything.
You know, yeah.
That as I have mentioned several times, my experience was there was a very positive one, and I think most everybody that stayed there and graduated, you know, I think they would probably say the same thing.
Okay. So